Hey everyone, I'm Ron Johnson, and this is the Ron Johnson Show on Locked On Sports Minnesota. On today's show, we got to get into it. The national media keeps coming down hard on the Vikings, and I kind of understand why. It's a polarizing team right now. They have a head coach who's leading his team to the playoffs in his first year as head coach, so doing some Zach Taylor-type things with the Bengals, doing some Matt LaFleur-type things with the Packers. But Kevin O'Connell, something Dan Orlovsky said, and I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but he kind of alluded to what happens in this Patriots game is going to kind of be the litmus test for this Minnesota Vikings team at 8-2. But we'll get into that next, coming up on the Ron Johnson Show.
On the field, in the broadcast booth, Ron Johnson is Minnesota sports. One-of-a-kind opinions, big-name guests, the teams you care about every day. It's the Ron Johnson Show, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, and it starts now.
Hey, everyone, it's Ron Johnson, and this is the Ron Johnson Show, and that's my producer, Sam Ekstrom. We're excited to join you on this beautiful day before Thanksgiving. Sun's out. Birds are chirping. They're about to fly south, I think, I'm guessing. But birds are chirping nonetheless. Sun's out, but it's football. Early Christmas for people in Minnesota. Why? Because the Vikings get to play the Patriots tomorrow. So that whole Dallas Cowboys, we can start throwing that away tonight. As you're taking your turkey brine and all your, you know, whatever you're doing, and you throw that stuff in the trash to get ready for Thanksgiving, just go ahead and throw that Vikings-Dallas game in the trash with it. But remember, people, you can find Locked On Sports Minnesota on Amazon, Fire, and Roku. You just go to your TV, hit the little app, and you know what comes next? You can find and search Locked On Sports Minnesota, and then you'll get to hang out with us and see us every day. And it's easy. When you're working at home and you just need some background noise, just click play. Hear what we have to say about the Minnesota Vikings. But again, that's on Amazon Fire and Roku. Search Locked On Sports Minnesota. Well, Sam, I got to get into it. I'm going to pay the tease off early. Mm-hmm. Dan Orlovsky, and not just Dan Orlovsky, the NFL Live team, and it was live, so I hope they tweeted. I'm guessing they're going to tweet it out later, but it was live, so I didn't catch the whole gist of it. But basically, what Dan Orlovsky said was that if the Minnesota Vikings lose to the Patriots, they're in trouble. And I understand where he's coming from. One, he has a quarterback mind, so he's always kind of quarterback-driven, and he always, you know, that's their job. Their job is to throw out flashy statements and make big splash statements. Because even the Vikings lose and go 8-3, and they end up winning, like I said, and be 12-5, it doesn't matter. They're in the playoffs, and they won the NFC North. So who cares about how they lost, when they lost, how many they lost in a row? Nobody cares. Like, losing two games doesn't matter. Now, if the teams, like we talked about yesterday, if the 49ers and these other teams that are kind of coming back, you know, getting closer back to Minnesota, and they have a chance to hurt that seeding where the Vikings are no longer number two. But personally, Sam, I feel like win, lose, or draw, it doesn't make or break the Vikings season. One, this is coming off of a devastating loss on a short week. There's so many factors to this, you know, that I just don't know if we can say, oh, they're in trouble. You can say that because that's what your job is, to say that. I don't personally think that I need to throw out a splashy statement like that. I don't think they're in trouble. Yes, it's going to suck, and people are going to be pissed off Thursday night, you know, heading into Black Friday shopping and all that stuff. I get it. But I just don't think them losing this game to the Patriots is the end-all, be-all. If they find a way to go 14-3, you're telling me we're going to look back and be like, oh, man, season was over after they lost to the Patriots? No, they went 14-3. Who cares who they lost to, when they lost to them, and how? Doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, they're 14-3. They're the number two seed, having to play the Eagles. And maybe the Eagles lose too. We don't know. We do not know. Because the Giants are going to get better. Like, the teams the Eagles have to play down the stretch. The Bears, that run game is getting better. So is the season over? Should they be panicking if they lose to the Patriots? No. No, that's three games. 8-3. Nobody put them on an 8-3 record at this point. Or 8-2, sorry, at this point. If they win and go 9-2, again, they're playing with house money. Nobody expected that, because I think everybody feels like at 9-2, they're going to beat the Packers, the Lions, and the Bears. That's just my opinion. They're going to beat the Packers, the Lions, and the Bears. And they're probably going to beat the Colts. You know, but that's 12 wins there. That's where I said they were going to get to. So it's there. It's in reach. You know, I can't wait to go back at all the tweets of the people tweeting me like, oh, they'd be lucky if they win 10 games this year. Just another team. Here we go. As soon as they lost to the Eagles, oh, they're never going to get there. Because even when they lost to the Eagles, I still put it out there. I was like, hey, it's not going to matter. Season's not over. They just lost. But Sam, I don't know. If they lose to the Patriots, Sam, do you agree with Dan Orlovsky? Do you think the sky is falling and they need to panic and they need to figure this thing out? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ron, you look back at a lot of Super Bowl champions of the past. They've all got blips in the season. The Rams had a terrible stretch in November. The Rams were done for in November. And people were saying it's the same old Stafford, can't put a few games together. And then they won the Super Bowl. They got hot in December. So if the Vikings have their lull now, it's better having it now than having it around Christmas. Better having it now than having it in the first round of the playoffs. So I don't think they're done. I'm not all that concerned. The two seed is very much beckoning. I think the biggest damage it inflicts, Ron, is that the one seed might get away from them. If they go two games behind and don't have the tiebreaker, so basically three games, that's going to be hard to make up. But for the long-term health of their season, no, I think that they can still beat the Jets and get right back on track. The Lions on the road is extremely winnable. I mean, honestly, the next four after this Patriots game, I feel like they can win all of them. And in fact, the Vikings can win any game the rest of the way. The question is, how is their health going to hold up? How is their execution going to be if they have some guys that are injured? The Vikings are dealing with it right now. They're dealing with their lack of depth at certain positions, and that's sort of the biggest test facing this team. And they're going to take on a coach, Ron, who is going to know how to exploit those absences. Especially if Darisaw is not playing, which he is not on Thursday night.
So, and this is what I look at with the playoffs. And we have Leo Lewis coming up, joining us on the Ron Johnson Show today. But looking at the playoffs, just to give us a picture of why I feel like you never know what's going to happen. The Vikings, as of now, would play the Seahawks, right? Because two play seven, right? Is that how they're doing this? Or
one two play two? Seven.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. Because the only person who gets a bye is the one. So two play seven, six plays three, and then four plays five. Now, here's the cool thing about that, the way it's set up. Two plays seven. That's the Seahawks. The Eagles would get the 4-5, which could be the Cowboys. I feel like the Cowboys late in the season going to Philly, I think the Cowboys might be able to beat the Eagles. Now, this is what's a little nerving, though. Both those teams destroyed the Vikings. But if the Cowboys beat the Eagles, the Cowboys have to come back to Minnesota if the Vikings can find a way to beat the 49ers, if that's the way it pans out. Same with the Buccaneers. Don't think that the Buccaneers in the playoffs, playoff Tommy can't beat the Cowboys. Playoff Tommy beats the Cowboys. Playoff Tommy probably can go figure out a way to beat the Eagles. And then playoff Tommy has to come see the Vikings in Minneapolis as well. So it's not over. Now, the Eagles are the odds-on favorite right now to host the NFC Championship game. We know that. BetOnline.net, I'm pretty sure, has those odds out there. But don't think that stranger things haven't happened. I think you brought it up. I think the Steelers were like a low six seed when they won it. I think the Giants were like a six seed when they won it. So chip chair and a chance. And you give old Tom Brady a chip and a chair. I mean, the way he's playing this year, he's playing like a man that just got divorced. Literally. Like, he doesn't care. He's going to find a way to make sure his team is going to ball out. This dude gave up everything for this game. So he is going to want to go out. Now, if he retires after this year, then I'd be like, dude, you should have just retired it and saved your marriage. But maybe it was already done. There's not the Tom Brady show, because I can go on about that. Giselle going off with her karate instructor. My guess is that's not new. So it might.
Did you hear the new theory on that, Ron? The new theory is that they divorced so that Giselle could take a bunch of their wealth because
away from the FTX,
the FTX deal. Yeah. So that they preserve their wealth. That's just about as good as the Masked Singer theory as to where Tom Brady was in training camp.
Was he on the Masked Singer?
That was the rumor, but it sounds like he was actually on vacation with Giselle trying to save his marriage. So it wasn't quite that interesting.
He also took a trip with Bridget Moynihan, because we know that was in the tabloids as well. Him and Bridget went to their house in the Hamptons or something, and both were in the same house with their son. And they do share a kid, but still. My ex-wife or my baby's mother, I'm not sleeping. I can't sleep in the same house with her. Like, it just wouldn't work, especially if I'm married. No, we're not doing that. But when you think about that with Tom Brady and all the other, the FTX, I like that. I like that one. that FTX, that I wouldn't put it past him.
Strategic.
Very strategic. She has a lot of money, and he can, you know, in the divorce, he can say, you know what, you can have it all. I don't even want it. I don't want, I give away my wealth. Like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, denouncing his throne for love. So, hey, maybe Tom Brady is smart. Like, hey, I'm going to, you can have it all. I don't want this. You take it. And then when they sue him, we're taking 10% of your wealth. He'd be like, look, I only got $1 million. So here's your 100,000. Thank you. And then all of a sudden, me and Giselle have reconciled. We're in love. I'm sorry for everybody.
Didn't they buy houses next to each other too?
Across the street, the bay. Yeah, across the bay in Tampa. They both have houses near each other. But if she went on vacation just to really push the narrative, like with that dude, the karate dude, that's even fun. That's true acting and going the extra mile. You know, that's like Adam Sandler putting on weight for that movie he just did as a road traveling guy with Bo Cruz and Anthony Edwards, Hustle. Like that's dedication to the role you're playing. You know, Chris Hemsworth in the gym trying to be Thor. Like that's dedication. If they really faked a vacation with the karate instructor just to make sure the SEC and everybody who's might come after their money with FTX. It's like, hey, this is real. They're divorced. She has the money. He gave half up. He didn't have a prenup. So, hey, he doesn't have it anymore. But we got Leo Lewis coming up next on the Ron Johnson Show. He's going to hang with Ron Johnson. Then we're going to do the Daily Three. But remember, Mondays and Thursdays, the football party on Locked On Sports Minnesota with Arif Hasan, Luke Inman, Luke Braun, and Sam Ekstrom. I join every once in a while just to get under Luke's skin a little bit. That's Luke Braun, by the way, with his rabbit. Don't ask me why. But you can check that out on Locked On Sports Minnesota every Monday and Thursday. And we have a word from our sponsors.
BetOnline.net is your top sports wagering source. It's football. It's basketball. It's hockey, boxing, golf, and you get some World Cup lines there as well. And if you like sports podcasts, they've got you covered. Full of news and analysis, full of all the lines for all the games. The latest Minnesota Vikings, New England Patriots line. The Vikings are favored by 2.5 points. The over-under, 42.5 for tomorrow night at U.S. Bank Stadium. Check it out at betonline.net, where the game starts.
Well, we got Leo Lewis, former Vikings receiver, joining me in the Hanging with Ron Johnson segment. Leo, I want to thank you for joining me. I got to jump out there, man. I saw you at the game Sunday. Everybody assumed that this would be a closer game. It was a toss-up. I think it was 1.5 points, so that means anybody's game. Vegas just does that to try to get some bettors on one side or the other. And Dallas Cowboys definitely covered. They beat them 40-3. But as an alumni, being in the alumni suite, 40-pointer put up on your team, what was that alumni atmosphere? I saw Chuck Foreman. I saw Paul Kraus. I saw EJ Henderson. I saw Andrew Sandejo, Willie Howard. What was that atmosphere like that up there as you guys kind of saw what the Cowboys were doing to the Vikings?
You know what, Ron? And thanks again for having me, man. It's always good to see you guys.
Appreciate it.
You know, we had a large crowd at the beginning of the game. You know, certainly we were anticipating a good struggle and a good game, for that matter. You know, I even saw some former players from out of town who came up here specifically for the game. So it was good to see some of those guys. Some of them were my teammates. And, you know, it's always good, man, in that alumni suite, because you tend to see players who that, you know, you haven't seen in a while. So it's always good. But by the third quarter, man, I could have found a seat anywhere in that place. And unfortunately, we even had some of the former players leave, recognizing that it was done by the third quarter.
Yeah, that's and so when you think about that, you know, and I know conversations happen, because I mean, like I said, I was around some of the guys before the game. You know, I saw some of the guys later in the day. What were those? Because I know the defensive guys, you know, they always, like, whether it's like, man, you got to fight back, or man, we'd hit them in the mouth, or whatever it might be. I mean, we think about EJ Henderson, you think about Anderson Dejo, you talk about Paul Kraus. You know, these were guys that bought the energy all the time. What was some of that like? Like, what were some of the alumni saying, or what were even you guys talking about when you were watching? I mean, honestly, the defense gets 7 sacks. Like, the offensive line really didn't help Kurt out much. And then the offensive coordinator, though, for the Vikings, didn't do a good job of making sure to change up some of the play calls, because clearly 5-step drop was not working with a guy like Micah Parsons. But what kind of advice, or what kind of, like, you know, tactics were you guys talking about up there?
Well, I tell you what, I stayed really quiet, and There wasn't much conversation. I mean, it was obvious, you know, it wasn't anything that we could do or say. And that's what was self-defeating in that, you know, we couldn't add to any of the progress that, the minimal progress that the Vikings displayed there out on the field. Yeah, but I think it wasn't very difficult to understand. The Vikings did not have it. Dallas played close to a perfect game. In terms of offensively, I was really pleased to see that, you know, the quarterback was back in the saddle and back to his standard of playing well. On the other hand, we're getting to get the wearing of the season that we normally see with teams, injuries, lackadaisical play. But I agree with you. I didn't like the offensive play calling of the Vikings. And it just didn't seem like that they had anything that would click. And at the same time, they weren't that creative. I don't know what else to say, Ron, in that Dallas played near perfect, a near perfect game. And you can appreciate their talent. You know, we have to tell our listeners, you know, every team has great players. Sometimes injuries, bad games like the Vikings, is experienced by every team in the league.
And that's what I think people don't understand is they've only lost two games. Like, it's not like they're 4-5 or 5-4 or something like that. Like, they're 8-2. They're 8-2 heading into a Thanksgiving game tomorrow. I know everybody's excited about that. You get to eat your turkey early, sit behind the TV, or head down to the stadium to watch the game. And so, Leo, when you think back to your days as a player, captains on your team, leaders in that locker room, after you would get your butt whooped or just lose, like what like guys like Kirk Cousins, whether it's Justin Jefferson, whether it is Kevin O'Connell as a coach, what do the leaders, you know, because it's a short week, so you don't have a whole week to even sulk and worry. I mean, you literally Monday rest, kind of walk through, watch film quick, but don't really watch it, throw it away, like Adam Thielen said, flush it down the toilet, move on. Tuesday, fast-paced practice, get sweaty. Today, another kind of fast-paced, but no hitting. And then you're basically in a hotel. You know, you can stay in a hotel tonight if you want. You can stay home with your family, be down to the stadium for the night game. So, or I think, no, you know, they're staying in the hotel, and then they get to go home in the morning, and then they got to come back. So I think that's a good deal. Make sure they are all at home and nobody's out partying tonight. But when you think about that, like, what do the leaders need to say to each other and to the rest of the team to kind of understand, hey, this is just another game, man. We got to move on to the Patriots. Like, what does that leader voice would have sounded like back in your day?
Well, you know, it depends on whether you won the game before or not. And certainly if you win, you're probably going to be more conservative in your play calling the next game on Thursday. So, you know, I never played on a team that was 8-2. So I can't really relate to having a winning program go into a Thursday night game, which back then primarily was always an away game for us, because you either played in Detroit or you played in Dallas.
Yep.
And we played in both when I was playing, and relatively successful. We lost some games, but we also won some good games. And then, you know, when I was in the front office, we went to Dallas, and Randy Moss and crew had a great game in Dallas 1 year. But we had good games in Dallas and Detroit as well. So I think leadership would really dictate that if we won the Sunday before, to stay the same in terms of how we attack the next team, because we were very successful. On the other hand, if we had lost on Sunday, it would be kind of a man up game for Thursday. You know, by and large, I know you remember, you know, we'd rather play the games than practice, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, because it was much easier to play the games than the practice. Practice was just difficult to get through sometimes, particularly if you lost the previous week.
Right. Yeah. No, it's tough. Your body hurts. You're mentally just exhausted. Coming off of a win, practice is fun. It's great. The atmosphere around the facility is great. Let's go back to that game. You were in the front office for that. Randy Moss set the world on absolute fire. Three catches, three touchdowns, like 163 yards. When you saw that, like, What was going through your mind? And did you realize at that moment, like, man, this kid is way better than we thought he would be?
Well, at that time, it was midseason. So, you know, we already knew Randy had the capabilities. But I think, you know, he only had three catches.
Right.
You know, And, you know, he ended up breaking my record yards per catch in a game. I think we were talking about this earlier in the season when, when we always go to Washington. We had a good game against Washington almost all the time. And one of my best games was against Washington, although we lost that game. But anyway, you know, Randy had a good supporting cast. I mean, Chris Carter was catching balls. Robert Smith was running the ball very well. And, you know, Randall Cunningham, I believe at the time. Yeah, he was the quarterback at the time, you know, was stellar. And it just happened to be one of those magical seasons for the Vikings at that time.
Right. And I mean, when you think about that, three catches, I know people are always wondering, like, why not just throw it to him every time?
Yeah.
Like, why not give this kid 7-8 catches? Let him go for 200, 300 yards. Like, put some records out there that will never be touched again.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. Three catches, three touchdowns. But, again, that's history. Like, that picture now comes up on Twitter every time.
Yeah.
I've seen it probably 200 times this week already because everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving, and they know, like, Justin Jefferson has a chance to do that. When you hear Justin Jefferson, so Justin Jefferson made this comment to the media, and he said, and that wasn't, like, you know, being malicious. He was just saying, hey, Kirk, like, because they were asking about, like, Kirk throwing the ball. And he said, Kirk didn't even have time to throw me the ball. He said, by the time I was coming out of my break, Kirk was already on the ground.
Yeah.
And he said, I felt like we should have done something different, whether it's quick game, hitches, slants, outs, whether it's one steps, whether it's screens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you hear a veteran receiver make that comment to the media, as a front office staff and as a coaching staff, how much of that do you think resonates with them that they're like, you know what, JJ's right. We definitely let you guys down and didn't help you guys out with some of that stuff, knowing that the Dallas Cowboys were pinning their ears back to come after
you. Yeah. Even though JJ's young, he's still one of the leaders of the team. You know, he leads by example. Let's put it that way. So for him to come out, it certainly is the echo of what people are feeling, particularly if you're not an offensive lineman, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is true, you know, it wasn't difficult to understand, even the casual fan, to watch that game and understand that Kirk Cousins was under duress a majority of the time. But you did feel that the quarterback didn't deliver the ball quick enough, and maybe that has something to do with JJ's comment about, you know, having a sharp passing game in your game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know well, Ron, you know, you need that anyway, particularly if you're playing a team that blitzes all the time. You always have to have a blitz route built in your play. And I don't know if the Vikings are good at that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
no, I agree. So I think everyone needs to be blamed, you know, and I'll leave it to that. I don't think there was one single play nor event that the Vikings had to capture that was going to save that team that night.
And before we jump into the Daily Three, Leo, tell the people what's going on with the Leo Lewis Foundation. I know you put a lot of work into that. You do a golf tournament, you do other events, but you really pour back into the community, because I know the Vikings community, like, a lot of the players have foundation. We just saw Adam Thielen give out turkeys. We saw Eric Kendricks giving out Thanksgiving meals at the car wash. So as a player, it seems like that's ingrained into the program for guys like that, like yourself, to be able to give back to the community. But, you know, you're well done past your plan days. Mm-hmm. Why, what drives you to want to continue to give back and, you know, and continue to do the Leo Lewis Foundation?
Well, that's a good question, man. And, you know, it's just ingrained in me. You know, my mother and father, raised me to kind of understand, you know, the value of education. Getting good mentoring, and they were very humble. And so I started that belief and mindset and a growth mindset about how you can give back. And it just so happens, as an educator myself, youth development was part of my scholarly work. And I just extended it to the public. And so when I was playing, you know, I started to do a lot of youth clinics, but I really felt that, you know, the youth needed more than just for us to teach them sports skills. You know, I thought the whole life development approach would be better. And that's when I started, right after I retired in the early 90s, I started a series of life development camps for football players, where they would spend the night. We'd go over a lot of sessions regarding life decisions and then have football practice as well. So it's been ingrained in me in my approach professionally. And as well as I would apply some of those strategies that I learned all too well and the community. But I think right now, yeah, I mean, we're talking 30 years after I've retired. Mm-hmm. It is part of my scholarly approach and professional approach to be a public, as a public figure, to really contribute the best way that I can. And that's how I do it.
Yeah. And we're going to jump into the Daily Three. But remember, people, when you subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota, you're getting endless Vikings talk with local experts. Subscribe to the free Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast feed.
And also check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. It's Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's jump into the Daily Three. We don't have the clock today. We're using a different program, but I'm going to have the clock here, so I'm going to keep you guys punctual. Starting the clock now, here's my first question, and you kind of talked about it a little bit already with Thanksgiving football, but I want you, Ron, and Leo to think back to either playing in a Thanksgiving game or watching Thanksgiving football, whether you were a kid or an adult. What is a Thanksgiving football memory that you have in your life? Ron, we'll start with you.
So for me, honestly, it's not the game itself. Whenever I would go home to Detroit, because we never played Baltimore Ravens, we never played on Thanksgiving. And then I was hurt with the Bears the year they did it. So I was able to go home. And so I honestly remember my dad, rest in peace, which, you know, kind of brings up a tough memory, because this was the time where every time I went to Detroit, he'd be sitting on the couch in the living room watching the Lions, griping and saying how bad they are and how they'll never be the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, how they won, you know, the four Super Bowls. So I just remember that time. Like, I remember my dad, you know, we watched the Bears Vikings, or we watched the Bears Lions, we watched the Cowboys Lions, which same teams always play. I got sick of that. But that was my memory. Like, I remember that, not the games, not who played in them, any of that. It was the memory of that, like being able to walk into my dad's house. He's sitting, you know, I know exactly where he's going to be. He's going to be in the living room on the couch. You know, and the first thing he always says is, oh, did you eat enough? Because we always go to my grandma's first and my mom's side. And so that was the first thing. Oh, did you eat enough? Blah, blah. And, you know, take a plate with you. And, you know, my wife would be with me at the time. And, you know, and then the grandkids eventually. So it was that. That's what I remember about Thanksgiving football. It really wasn't the game for me. It was the time that I knew this was a time that me and my dad, because I grew up that way. Like, I grew up in high school watching it with my dad. I grew up, you know, coming home for college whenever we didn't, you know, whenever I got a chance to come home for a quick second. It was always Thanksgiving football. So that's the memory I have from it. Not the games, but the moments.
Hmm. Leo, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, this speaks to this whole notion. This is an American pastime, because it was one of the few things that you can do besides just visit family, you know, and get full on you know, turkey and wine. But you know, when I was a kid, yeah, I mean, that's what we did. We happened to have family gatherings at our house when I was a kid. But once I got a little older and moved up here, you know, we went over to some friends' house almost all the time. And, you know, we would rotate, you know, holidays amongst the core element of families that we had. And like, for example, we would always get Easter, you know, and but. So Thanksgiving was never really spent at our house when, you know, when I started to raise my family. And but I think one of the things when I talk about it being a pastime, I mean, you know, it was ingrained that you'd be watching either Dallas and or Detroit play every Thanksgiving, and you didn't do anything else. Now, some people would probably, if you didn't live in this northern climate, probably go out and go on a golf course somewhere and play afterwards. But it's an American pastime. Let's put it that way. And we're talking about how sports is so ingrained in that pastime.
Good answers, guys. I appreciate those. I'm moving on to a Patriots question. So the Patriots coming in here, Mac Jones is the quarterback. Bill Belichick, obviously, still the coach. I want your take on whether or not that pairing of Belichick and Jones is that good enough to bring the Patriots back to the Super Bowl at some point in the post Tom Brady era. We'll start with you, Ron.
No, I don't even need 3 minutes. I don't need a minute. No, like, nothing against Mac Jones, nothing against Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is definitely the GOAT. Like, he is one of the greatest coaches of all time. You can say it was Tom Brady, and we don't know if it's the chicken or the egg. Tom did win one with Bruce Arians, but Bruce Arians also did good things with the Cardinals. So Bruce Arians is a good coach. he just never had the quarterback to get over the hump. And I forgot who I was talking to, but they said winning a Super Bowl. Oh, no, PJ Fleck said this yesterday. He said winning games and winning, like, big bowl games, national championship, whatever. He was like, if you look at all the champions, he was talking college. He was like, it's not always about winning every single game the right way. You have to get lucky sometimes. You have to get the right bounce sometimes. He said that's the reason why it's the greatest sport. And I agree with Leo, because the ball is not like a circle. Like a basketball, I can throw it down 9 times out of 10. It's going to come back to where I want it to. A football is not going to do that. You can throw a ball 10 times at a wall. It's going to bounce a different way every time. And so a fumble, a tip pass, all that kind of stuff, a field goal, you know, that changes the game. And I think that's why Bill Belichick is the GOAT, because of how hard it is. Like NBA, you got to beat a team 7 times. So you get a chance. If you're not the best team, you lose one night, you can come back. Football, if you're not the best team and you're not playing good, you're going to lose. And that's why football is one, like the playoffs is one of the best, because you don't have multiple games to try to get it right. You got to get it right. And Bill Belichick, he did it. So I don't think Mac Jones is the quarterback personally. I think it's going to come maybe, you know, I just don't think, I mean, unless, and Bill Belichick's probably not going to play, you know, coach for 10 more years, but who knows? But no, my answer is no.
Okay. Leo?
Well, I mean, at one time you didn't think Tom Brady was going to be the quarterback, but
true.
I don't know. I do believe coaching and management are in sync, and it has been proven over the years that the New England franchise has the template for winning. And if they want Mac Jones to lead their team, I think they may have a formula that it may look different than the Brady formula. But I have to put my bet on that management eventually knowing what they're doing. And after Thursday, you know, I salute them, you know, but I think the Vikings, I think we should be headed toward understanding the Vikings even more after this game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they've been resilient all year, but against a New England team that by and large knows what they're doing, they have just gone against a buzzsaw with their divisional foes, but they know what they're doing. So the litmus test Thursday is going to be whether the resiliency of the Vikings can take another turn, whether it can look different. Because we did understand that the way they had been coming back into games can fall flat.
And this is what I will say. If Bill Belichick had Tua, so two Alabama quarterbacks, Tua and Mac Jones, I think Tua might get Belichick there. I just don't know if Mac Jones is the guy.
Shoot, Tua would get us there. What are you talking about? I mean, you know, the elephant in the room is that we need a mobile quarterback. I don't care if he's on the bench right now or not. We need a mobile quarterback.
Tua is legit. I will agree with you there. Let's have some fun with this last one. Thanksgiving tomorrow. I want you to describe your perfect Thanksgiving meal, the entree, the sides, the desserts. Give me the buffet that you're going to be partaking in. Ron, what do you got?
So I love fried turkey. But I also, and this is one that like a lot of people have tried before. So you fry the turkey, but you don't like some of the meat. So this fried turkey you fry, and then you have a smoked turkey. And then the smoked turkey, that meat is still succulent enough that you can wrap it in like a batter and you can deep fry it. So it's like deep fried smoked turkey. So now you have that. So you have a little crispy to it with the seasoning. You throw that on a sandwich with bacon and pickles with like hot sauce and like Tennessee hot chicken. It's a Tennessee hot chicken sandwich, but you use turkey. But then you still have your regular turkey from the fryer on the side as well. It's a fat boy meal. And then you got candied yams. So get the Brussels sprouts in there. You throw a little bit of macaroni and cheese. I'm not a big macaroni and cheese fan, but my wife and my mother-in-law both make it. So I kind of just eat it just to taste it, but I don't do a whole bunch. A little bit of mac and cheese. And then you got the bread. The bread is like my mother-in-law makes homemade bread. So she started making it this morning and then she lets it rise overnight. And then she puts it in the oven tomorrow. Like, I can't wait for that. And then with the bread, you got butter and honey. Oh, yeah, that's my perfect one right there.
Hmm. Wow.
It's a fat boy meal. Then I go to Lifetime Fitness and work out after that. Man, I gotta go work out.
Yeah, you can't worry about working out, watching your weight. Come on now. Shoot. Eat. This is a day to eat. And by and large, you are full and plump by the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
No matter about that. But, you know, you got to have some turkey. You got to have some ham as well. You know, I've been to some dinners where you had all three, beef or fish for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
I like turkey, ham with the greens and green beans, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese. What else? Oh, you know, certainly a glass of wine. You can't go without a Cabernet to follow up with that, of course. But the most important thing is getting to dessert, and the sweet potato pie with a little coconut in it would probably top it off. And you're plump, and then you're kind of probably going to have to go to sleep a little bit while you're watching the football game. But you're rejuvenated after the first game, and you go back in there and get you another helping.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this is the first time, because I can't drink because I got to do the post game. So yeah, I gotta have my drink after the post game show. But I'm definitely doing it. I'm hoping Brick and Bourbon is gonna stay open over in Eden Prairie, because I heard they just opened November 1st. I've been seeing pictures. People have been sending, because they know I love bourbon. So people have been sending me pictures of like all their special drinks. Like they do this smoke deal inside this big like smoker, and then they bring the drink to you. So yeah, so I'm definitely hoping they're staying open to 1-2 a.m. So I can get over there. But if not, then I will be over there Friday for sure. Friday afternoon, I will be over there because I have nothing until the Gophers Saturday on Fox. So definitely looking forward to that. But Sam, before we get out of here, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? What is your meal?
Yeah. So I'd like an invite to the Johnson and the Lewis household because your meals sound really, really good. You know, we've got a young family, two toddlers in the house, and we're just like at the stage where we are no longer necessarily going home to grandma and mom and aunts and uncles. Like now no one's cooking for us anymore. We have to cook for ourselves. So we're just like figuring out what our Thanksgiving meals are going to look like. So we'll put something together on Thursday, but, if you have any good recipes, send them our way because we're not super, culinarily minded in this house. So we would love some tips.
I would definitely, next year for sure. You are invited. You and the family are invited over. This year, I mean, as you know, we're moving, so the house is an absolute mess, and we're not going to have the kitchen ready until probably, I think, because I just got a text from my wife. The electrician just left, so we're still working on getting all the stuff in the house together before we move next week, Wednesday. A week away. We're a week away from moving. So, this year is an absolute chaotic time, which is why we're not even having a lot of people over Thanksgiving. We're just having the immediate, like her parents and then her sister. That's it. So we didn't invite a bunch of people this year because the boxes are all in the kitchen and in the living room, and we're like, this is not the year to host. But next year for sure, Sam, in the new house, you're definitely invited. I definitely have some recipes though. I can get, my mother-in-law has a book. Like that's her dying wish, is to make sure that her kids are able to carry on what she does. And because she knows I can cook. My wife can cook, but I definitely am more of the chef type stuff. So she's kind of put some stuff. So that Tennessee chicken fry deal I put together, that's me. I found out from the state fair. So probably one of the best sandwiches I've had was the chicken. So this year I'm trying the turkey version of it. So we'll see how it turns out. But I want to thank Leo Lewis for joining us on the Ron Johnson Show. I want to thank Sam Ekstrom for running the show. I want to thank everybody that continues to watch, download, subscribe, listen. We are extremely grateful and thankful for all of your support. From our family to yours, we want to wish you guys a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas is coming up soon, so we know as soon as the turkeys are done, the Christmas lights. Some of you already have Christmas lights up. I get it. I'm not going to get into that because I already know that argument. But remember, Locked On Sports gives you endless Vikings talk. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Sports, Minnesota's YouTube channel, where you can find all of our videos, instant podcasts after every single game, the Vikings press conference delivering all the biggest news. Can the Vikings sustain this season if they lose to the Patriots? What do you think? Yes or no? Have a great day.